This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. Now, normally, we open the lines and take your listener phone calls. If you call 612-564-8135. Yes, if you leave your name, the call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, then perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio. But some of you are kind of gun-shy and would rather simply type out a question. That's fine, too. So in this hour, we're going to take the questions that you email me. Specifically, we're going to talk about time travel paradoxes. How do you resolve all those delicious paradoxes that you see in the movies? And robots. Are they dangerous? Are they going to take your job away? What jobs should you look forward to if you are a college student and you're fearful that a computer will take your job? And then we're going to talk about the brain, the mind. Was Sigmund Freud all washed up? Sigmund Freud had all these cockamamie ideas about sex and the unconscious mind. But hey, some of his ideas weren't totally wacko now that we can peer into the living brain. And dreams, why do we dream? What is the meaning of dreams? And what does science say about people who can control their dreams, lucid dreamers? These are just some of the concepts we'll be talking about in this hour on Science Fantastic as we answer your emails. And once again, if you want to send me an email, go to my website, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers, and you can find out what my tour schedule is, and maybe I'll be coming to a city next to you, signing your copy of The Future of Humanity, my latest book, my latest New York Times bestseller. And so, yes, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out what I've been up to. Well, once again, in this hour, I'm going to answer your emails that have come in. Some of you are, well, kind of shy about having your voice heard on national radio, so you send me emails instead. No problem. One set of emails that I get concerns time travel. We've all seen these science fiction movies, and you have all these mind-twisting paradoxes. How do you resolve them? First of all, is it even possible that we can build a time machine? And second, if so, then how do you resolve all the paradoxes? For example, if you go back in time and meet yourself as a young boy or girl, and you kill yourself, then you just committed suicide in the past. But if you do that, how can you be alive in the present if you just killed yourself in the past? How does that work? Or if you go back into the past to change some historic event that's in the history books, you've changed all of world history, including your own. In other words, maybe you don't even exist to change the past. Well, these are all the time travel paradoxes that appear in the movies, so let's take them apart one by one. First of all, it is even possible to build a time machine? The answer is, apparently, maybe. That is, Einstein's theory of general relativity allows for time travel. For example, if the universe were to rotate, not expand, but rotate, and you were to go with the flow and go around the universe, you could go backwards in time. You could come back before you left. You could actually rewrite history. This solution of Einstein's equation was found in 1949 by a great mathematician, Kurt Gödel, one of the greatest mathematical logicians of the last 1,000 years. And he studied Einstein's equations and found a solution which allowed for time travel. Well, in Einstein's memoirs, he writes that we can probably dismiss the solution of his equations for physical reasons. In other words, the universe does not rotate. Think about that. The universe expands. It doesn't rotate. So if the universe did rotate, then time travel may indeed be possible. Well, since then, a number of other solutions have been discovered which make time travel possible, the most famous being the wormhole. If you make a hole through space and time, like a subway, traveling from one point to the other underground, if you could do that, then perhaps you could go to a distant point in the universe or a distant point into the past. That is a distinct possibility. However, what's the catch? The catch is you have to have a wormhole, and that requires energies comparable to a black hole. So in other words, only a very advanced civilization can create a time machine. And then the next question is, how do you resolve all the paradoxes of time travel? Well, in quantum mechanics, we think that our universe obeys a timeline that separates the past from the future. That's common sense. However, the timeline can fork into two roads. So in other words, the universe can split into parallel universes. And this is allowed under the quantum theory, which is perhaps the most successful theory of all time. We have seen no deviation at all from the quantum theory ever since it was first proposed in 1925. So, if you have the quantum theory, it means that our timeline can split into two timelines, and again into three and four. So perhaps when you go back in time to meet yourself as a young child, that's not really you. Looks like you, has the same genome as you, but it's you in a different timeline. So if you kill that you in a different timeline, it doesn't really mean that you cease to exist. You still exist, but your timeline twin, your double, has died. Now this means that you can get all sorts of paradoxes and resolve them one by one using the fact that the timeline can split into two timelines. So the river of time can fork into two rivers. So now let me tell you the granddaddy of all time travel paradoxes, and see whether you can figure this one out. This time travel story was concocted by none other than Robert Heinlein himself. Robert Heinlein starts with a girl named Jane. Jane starts off as a baby left at an orphanage in a cradle. Well, the nuns at the orphanage don't know what to do with Jane. They call her Jane because they don't know what else to call her. And Jane grows up as an orphan in this orphanage. But she always wonders, who is my mother, my father? I was left as a foundling on the doorstep of this orphanage. Well, when Jane is a teenager, she falls in love. A handsome guy comes into her life, but it was not meant to be. They argue, and he stomps off, never to be seen again. But it's a sad story, very sad, because Jane is left pregnant. Pregnant and abandoned. So, what does Jane do? She checks into a hospital, gives birth to a beautiful baby girl, but it's a very sad story. Somebody that night breaks into the hospital and kidnaps her own baby girl. Well, Jane wakes up the next day horrified. First of all, she was pregnant and abandoned. Then somebody kidnaps her beautiful baby girl. And then it's even worse than that. What could be worse? The doctors find out she's actually a hermaphrodite. And to save her life, they have to change Jane into Jim. Well, find out the conclusion of this mother of all time travel stories after we take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, SunnyBay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at SunnyBay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at SunnyBay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, you can always get on the show by calling 612-564-8135. But for those of you who are a little bit gun-shy, you can send me an email. mkaku.org is the website, mkaku.org. That's the website. You can find all the books that I've written, 4 New York Times bestsellers, including a host of other books about science. And you can get on Science Fantastic, send us an email, or have your voice heard if you call 612-564-8135. So once again, in this hour, I'm going to answer the backlog of emails that I get. One huge set of emails I get is about robots, about computers, about AI. There's so many shows on TV and in the movies about robots. And what do we have to fear? Or what about the opportunities, given the fact that robots could become one of the main engines of the economy in the future? So what are the pros and cons? That's a question that comes back quite frequently. Well, this also came to the fore because of a debate between Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and Elon Musk of SpaceX. Mark Zuckerberg says artificial intelligence is good. This will provide jobs. economic benefits. People will be employed by the robotics industry. It'll enrich our country. That says Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. Elon Musk says, not so fast. Let's not be naive. One day they could become dangerous. One day they could replace us. One day they could become an existential risk. So who's right, Zuckerberg or Musk? Well, personally, I think actually both are right to a degree. Zuckerberg is right for the next several decades. For the short term, yes, robots are going to give us new job opportunities. In fact, I think the robotics industry will become bigger than the automobile industry of today. I mean, think about that for a moment. After all, think of all the people employed by the automobile industry. People employed as people who repair cars, service cars, maintain cars, drive cars, use cars. And one day your car will be a robot. So your industry, the automobile industry, will be eaten up by the robotics industry because we'll have people who design robots, repair robots, service robots, make new generations of robots, handle robot accidents. We'll have a whole industry based on robotics. And one day, we do have to realize that Elon Musk is not simply talking out of his head. Yes, they are potentially dangerous. At what point are they dangerous? They are dangerous when they become self-aware. That's not going to happen for many decades to come because robots do not know they are robots. However, one day they'll figure it out. And at that point, they may have an agenda different from our agenda. At that point, hey, let's not be naive about it. They could become dangerous. And when is that going to happen? Well, first of all, our robots today have the intelligence of a cockroach, a bug, a retarded cockroach, a lobotomized retarded cockroach. That's how smart our robots are today. If you put a bug in the middle of the forest, immediately it scurries around, finds shelter, finds food, finds mates. Bugs perform marvelously in the forest. You put our most advanced robot in the forest, and what does it do? It falls over and gets lost. So much for the robot revolution. But, you know, let's not be naive. Computer power keeps growing in sophistication. One day the robots will be smart as a mouse, then as smart as a rat, then as smart as a rabbit, dog, or a cat, and eventually as smart as a monkey. At that point, they are potentially dangerous. Because monkeys have a very well-defined sense of who they are. They are self-aware. They know they're not humans. Now, dogs, on the other hand, dogs are confused. Dogs think that we are a dog. We're the top dog, and they're the underdog. So you see, dogs have a different way of looking at humans. They think that we're dogs, just like them. That's why they lick us. That's why they follow us, because we're the top dog. Monkeys, they know better. And so when robots are as smart as monkeys, then we have to worry. And when is that going to happen? I don't know. But I think it's probably going to happen toward the end of this century at the rate at which we are creating robots. Now, you may have heard some stories of when robots will become smarter than us very soon. Within the next few years, the next few decades, they're going to become smarter than us. Well, yes and no. You see, smart is more than just computational speed. Because the rate at which robots can process digits, well, at that point, that may exceed our ability to process digits as well. But that's not the point, right? The point is thinking, strategizing, understanding what you're doing. These things are more than just digital transformations. They require very complex motions of many central processors, not just one. Because after all, a digital computer has one CPU, just one CPU, a Pentium chip. Our brain is a parallel processor, processes 200 billion neurons simultaneously, not just one CPU, but 100 billion neurons working in unison. And our brain is not a digital computer at all. It is a learning machine. It is not a digital computer. Digital computers are adding machines. They add a million times faster than you, giving you the illusion that they think. Nope, they don't think at all. They just add much faster than us. But let's be honest, one day robots may attain that ability, and at that point, they could be dangerous. What do? I suggest we put a chip in their brain to shut them off if they have murderous thoughts. But then I have another set of questions. What happens if they're smart enough to go around a fail-safe system? If we put a chip in their brain to shut them off, what happens if they're smart enough to remove that chip? Then what are we going to do? Robots are going to become smarter every year. Not dumber, but smarter every year. We are pretty much stagnant in that category. So what happens, inevitably, maybe in the next century, when robots exceed us in intelligence? I suggest that at that point, we merge with them. Rather than fight them, merge with them. And that's a possibility because we're now beginning to explore computer-brain interface, which is a subject of my book, The Future of the Mind. So believe it or not, we can now hook the brain to a computer so that telepathy and telekinesis, things that you see in a movie, are actually possible today. This is something to think about. So at that point, we may want to become superhuman. Now, you may say to yourself, wait a minute, does this mean that I'm going to be a brain in a vat of liquid connected to a computer, and I'm going to spend my whole life thinking inside a computer? How boring. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have electrodes dangling from my head looking like some kind of freak. I don't want to be like that. So what do if we want to merge with computers rather than compete with them? Well, personally, I believe that we should create an avatar. An avatar that is perfect, beautiful, strong, handsome, whatever, with superpowers, and we should use our brain to drive the avatar. So for all intents and purposes, you think you are the avatar. Your brain may actually be in a vat of liquid connected to a computer someplace, but you control a perfect avatar. So you have a perfect body capable of living on any planet, capable of withstanding any gravitational field, any noxious poisonous gases, any dangerous predicament that you may find yourself in. A perfect robot. Think about that for a moment. Now, I believe when people ask me what will humans look like in the far future, I believe in what I call the caveman or cavewoman principle. You see, we humans haven't changed much for 200,000 years or so. We have the same wants and desires as our ancestors of 200,000 years ago. And what do we want? Well, after our basic needs are satisfied, we want to look good. We want to have the respect of our peers. And that will determine the future, as we will tell you after the break. So let's have a commercial break. And after that, we're going to talk about what humans are going to look like 100,000 years from now. What are we going to look like? Well, you're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. And after the break, we're going to talk about dreams, Sigmund Freud. We're going to talk about the future of robotics on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
As businesses reopen throughout the weekend in more of the United States, an overwhelming majority of states are still falling short of the COVID-19 testing levels that public health experts say are necessary to safely ease the lockdowns and avoid another deadly wave of outbreaks. 41 of the nation's 50 states fail to test widely enough to drive their infections below the key benchmark. Among those states are Texas and Georgia, which recently moved aggressively to reopen stores, malls, barbers, barber shops and other businesses. The first stage of Maryland's reopening began when some retail stores were allowed to reopen and the stay-at-home order was lifted, but some of the hardest-hit parts of the state, including the suburbs of D.C., extended their restrictions for residents and businesses. Researchers at Harvard University have calculated that the U.S. needs to test a minimum of 900,000 people per day to safely reopen the economy. This is USA Radio News. Residents of the Navajo Nation will be under the strictest weekend lockdown in the United States. Grocery stores, gas stations, and other businesses will be closed, and essential workers are being told to stay at home until Monday around dawn. The Navajo Nation president made the announcement after a spike in deaths. The tribe now reports 127 deaths and 3,600 positive cases since it first began tracking. The Navajo Nation has been hit harder by the coronavirus than any other Native American reservation. JCPenney, weighed down by debt and battered by the coronavirus, has now officially filed for bankruptcy. Sales at JCPenney's have fallen annually since 2016. It currently has 860 stores, less than a quarter of its base in 2001. The Texas-based retailer, which was founded more than a century ago, employed over 90,000 full and part-time employees. It joins fellow department store chains Neiman Marcus and Sage Stores as victims of the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, I'm going to take your emails and answer them. I have a pile of emails that have been sitting on my desk, and this is for people who are a little bit gun-shy and are hesitant about making a question on national radio. You'd much rather be anonymous. You'd much rather simply send me an email and have the answer read on national radio. So, as I said before the break, we're going to talk about the future of humanity, not just robots. I think that in the next century, that is, in the 22nd century, way in the future, when robots become extremely intelligent and our fail-safe systems, our safety mechanisms all fail, what are we going to do? I say instead of competing with them, why not merge with them? Why not become super powerful, super beautiful, super handsome, capable of living on any planet, capable of withstanding any gravitational field, breathing any kind of noxious atmosphere, superhuman as we explore the universe. And then people ask me the next question, what are we going to look like? Well, when I was a kid, I read comic books like all the other kids on the block. And of course, the human of the future had a gigantic head, a huge head, a tiny, tiny, tiny little body. We were totally bald. And sometimes we were just nothing but a brain in a vat of liquid. And I thought to myself, yuck, who wants to live like that? Who wants to live the rest of your life immortal as a brain swimming in a vat of liquid connected to a computer? And who wants to live with this gigantic head with a tiny, tiny, tiny little body and being completely bald? Who wants to live like that? Well, I have a different point of view. I believe in what I call the caveman or cavewoman principle, the fact that we humans really haven't changed much in 200,000 years. We want to look good. We want to have the admiration of our peers. We want to have a good position in society. That's what we want after our basic needs are taken care of. And so in the future, we'll still look like us. That is, we will enhance ourselves. We'll have superhuman powers. But we're going to look like us, except we'll be beautiful. We'll be handsome. We'll be super strong, capable of all sorts of feats. And if it means that we have to have certain electrodes planted in our head, well, we'll take them off on a hot date. So if we have a hot date that night, we'll take off our implants, we'll take off our helmets that give us these abilities, and act normal. Because the caveman principle means that the basic human body is not going to change so much. So when science fiction writers talk about humans looking like some kind of freak, I don't think so. Because if we have tremendous powers of technology and science, why do we want to look like a freak? Why do we want to look like some idiot? Somebody that'll laugh at us? Why do we want to look like that? I think we will pretty much look pretty much the same way we are now. And so as I said before, in this century, we'll be pretty much in competition with robots, but we'll be smarter than them in this century. And in the next century after that, we'll probably merge with them. And then another set of questions I get is, well, let's get back down to earth. My job. Will my job be phased out? Or for that matter, your job as a professor, are you going to be on the unemployment line as machines get smarter and smarter? Well, let's talk about this after the break. So once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And after the break, we're going to talk about whether or not you're going to have a job in the future. What jobs are going to flourish and what jobs are going to be in the garbage heap? Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever. We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And Science Fantastic, we take your listener phone calls and also your emails and answer them on national radio. So before the break, we had a question that I get a lot is, what will the jobs of the future look like? Will I be unemployed? And for that matter, will you be unemployed? Well, let's be honest about this. We don't have blacksmiths anymore. We don't have wagon makers anymore. But we don't cry about them. Those jobs are gone. But people switch jobs. They got job training. They became automobile workers and things like that. And so those jobs are still flourishing, the jobs that replace the automobile workers. But now, automobile workers are being laid off. And so the question is, what about the next set of jobs to be opened up? Well, I personally believe that the jobs of the future will be those jobs that robots cannot do. So, obviously, the next question is, what jobs can't robots do? And there's several categories of jobs that robots simply are useless at. And let's talk about them. First of all, jobs that involve human judgment. For example, a lawyer. A lawyer has to argue to a judge, not a robot. A lawyer has to talk to a jury and convince the jury. A lawyer has to master the art of persuasion. All these things robots can't do at all. They don't understand human mores, ethics, and human behavior required to argue a case in court. Now, on the other hand, the paralegal could be endangered because a paralegal is basically a search engine. Somebody that goes through the law books, tries to analyze each one to find out precedents in the past. And so those jobs could, in fact, be phased out. But jobs that involve counseling, mentoring, jobs that involve arguing a point, things that involve human interactions, they will be around. And so professors, for example, will be around, but for a different reason. In the future, we'll have e-courses. That is, you'll simply wave your hand, and there's a master professor giving you the lesson right there in cyberspace, perhaps in your contact lens. So you blink, and there's your favorite professor giving you your latest lecture in that subject that you're studying. However, that doesn't answer your homework problems. That doesn't mentor you when you want to know your career path. That doesn't give you guidance.
And that's where the professor comes in. So the professor is going to be more and more a mentor and less a teacher. Teaching will be done mainly through e-courses, which you can do at home or just by blinking. And, however, mentoring requires a human, somebody who knows your strengths and weaknesses, knows the job market, and they can give you sound personal advice. So jobs involving human kinds of interactions will be around for a long time to come. Also, jobs that require semi-skilled professional skills, like being a plumber, being a gardener, policeman, construction worker, those jobs will still be around. Robots cannot pick up garbage. Robots cannot solve a crime. Robots do not understand how criminals think. Robots do not understand how to fix a broken toilet. Those jobs will be around. But what about the jobs involving mechanical skills? Well, if it's repetitive, they're out the window. I repeat, repetitive jobs, if they can be replaced, will be replaced. So the jobs that will replace them will be jobs involving intellectual capital. More and more, the key buzzword of the job market of the future will be intellectual capital. Capital of the mind rather than capital of the hand. As Tony Blair likes to say, England derives more revenue from rock and roll than the coal mining industry. I mean, think about that for a moment. The Beatles, Elton John, all those rock stars, they generate more income for England than the coal mining industry because music is intellectual capital. Writing a book, singing, writing a song, being an actor. These are things that robots cannot do. Robots cannot write a novel. They can copy, but they can't create new novels that excite the public. And so intellectual capital, those jobs are going to flourish. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be Bill Gates and some kind of high-tech genius. No, that is one form of intellectual capital. But there are many, many other forms of intellectual capital that are going to continue to generate wealth in the future. Well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe your thoughts will be heard on national radio. Give us a call, because this is Science Fantastic.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're taking your email questions. That's right. First of all, if you want to verbally ask a question and perhaps get on national radio, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and then you can ask that question, make that comment, and perhaps you'll be on national radio. But for some of you who are still a little bit shy about that, you can send me email. My web address is mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and you can send me an email question. And also, while you're on my website, check out my books. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The Future of Humanity is my latest one, talking about the future of the space programs as we go back to the moon, on to Mars, and maybe the asteroid belt and beyond. The Future of the Mind talks about brain-computer interface, how we are now interfacing the human brain with computers, giving us the ability to manipulate exoskeletons, to communicate telepathically, telekinesis, the ability to move objects by the mind. In Physics of the Impossible, I talk about, well, science fiction. I talk about time travel, ray guns, teleportation, all the stuff you see in science fiction movies. And in Physics of the Future, I talk about the next 100 years. What will robots, what will medicine, what will cancer research look like in the next 100 years? Well, once again, in this hour, we're going to answer your listener phone calls. One question I get is about psychology, not just about the mechanics of the brain, but psychology. That is how we think. And when you take a psych course, chances are you learn about Freudian psychology. Freud talked about sex, 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 sex. Well, besides that, he also talked about the unconscious mind and the fact that consciousness is in 3 parts. The libido, which is desire, the id, which is your person, you, and your superego, which is your guilty conscience. So, and Freud also said that dreams are the highway by which we understand human thinking. So how has that held up now that we have brain scans, now that we have MRIs, now that we can peer right into the living, thinking brain? Well, first of all, a lot of Freudian psychology, I think, is nonsense. It's just pure garbage. However, there are some real nuggets of gold in Freudian psychology. First of all, the unconscious mind. Yep, Freud was right. Much of the activity of the brain is unconscious. If you brain scan the brain, you realize that the conscious brain is just what happens behind your forehead. A thin layer behind your forehead is what we call you. your conscious mind, your self-aware brain. The rest of it is largely unconscious, like the bottom of an iceberg. You're not even aware of the fact that your brain is performing all these calculations, all these functions. You're not even aware of it. You think just behind your forehead. Freud was right on that. Freud was also right in the fact that consciousness has at least three parts. That is a superego, which tells you, can't do that. Your id, which is you, how you view yourself. And your libido, which is desire. Yes, you can see these parts of the brain right there on a brain scan. With the MRI, you can show that the id is your prefrontal cortex right behind your forehead. Your superego is right behind your eyeballs in the orbital frontal cortex. Right behind your eyeballs is your guilty conscious. At the center of the brain is the nucleus accumbens, which is your pleasure center. So, yes, indeed, Freud got it right. And then about dreams. Well, Freud thought that in some sense dreams was the royal road to consciousness. Scientists today don't think so, but scientists today can understand a little bit about the dreaming process. First of all, in a brain scan, you can see that several things light up and other things are dark. For example, when you dream, the front part of your brain shuts off and the orbital frontal cortex shuts off. So in other words, your id and your superego shut off. That's why dreams are bizarre. They're crazy. Because the orbital frontal cortex is in charge of fact-checking. Your fact-checker is your orbital frontal cortex, right behind your eyeballs. And they tell you that, something's wrong, something's not quite right. That is shut off. Therefore, the brain is free to roam as it does during a dream. Meanwhile, the center part of the brain is very active, mainly the amygdala, which controls emotion and especially nightmares and fear. That's why many dreams are unpleasant. That's why many dreams are, in fact, nightmares, because that part of the brain lights up when you are dreaming. And then the next question is, can you control your dream? This is called lucid dreaming, and the answer is yes, it is possible. It was once considered folklore to be able to be awake while you dream, but now we see it with brain scans. We can take, for example, a lucid dreamer, put him in an MRI machine, have him dream, and the prefrontal cortex is fully active as the person dreams. So the amygdala lights up, meaning that the person's emotions are activated. But the person's prefrontal cortex also lights up, meaning that he is fully awake while he is dreaming. Think about that for a moment. And it turns out that Buddhist monks centuries ago wrote handbooks about how to do it. Yes, believe it or not, there are handbooks about how to become a lucid dreamer. One, remind yourself just before going to bed that you are going to control your dream. B, have a notebook that records all your dreams. And yes, you too can control your dream. Okay, well, once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and join us every week when we discuss the cutting edge of science on Science Fantastic. Good day.
A Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.